Blog Talk Radio.
One of the first things
that the Most High tells us, and we'll get into this today, is being holy. Being holy as part of our roots. But let us do this. Let us pray in, and we'll do the statement of faith. We'll pray in, and then we'll get into this. And I really do want, you know, this needs to be participatory. The Most High is not only dealing with me, okay? So I welcome your input in these things, you know. So while I am doing the statement of faith, well, no, I ask you guys after this and after the prayer in, okay? Our statement of faith on this morning. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction and for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. I believe all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah, according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I am a new covenant child of Yah, according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I am of the royal priesthood, according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah, according to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. I believe I am a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham, according to Galatians chapter 3. Verse 26 through 29, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give the Most High a hand clap of praise this morning. Hallelujah. He kept you safe through this night, and you are able to wake up and to praise him and to give him glory and to honor his name. Hallelujah, Yah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yah. We worship you and we adore you. We magnify you and we lift you up this morning. And we thank you, Father, for keeping us safe through the night. Hallelujah. 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 You are the great healer, Father, and we just ask you to help us in our healing. Reveal yourself unto us, Father. And we shall give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. Hallelujah. Glory to your name, glory to your name, glory to your name, Father. For truly you are worthy. You and you alone are worthy. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. Holy hand praise to the Most High Elohim. Father Yah, we come before you this morning, speaking your word, Father. Be here among us. We invite you into our meeting. You are always with us, Father, but we want to make sure that you understand that we want you and that we want you to be the leader. Father, we are in need of your healing. You are the great healer, and you are the only one that can heal us. So, Father, we ask your presence, and we beg that you would put your spirit upon us and that you would heal us in mind, in body, in spirit. And you show how much that's precious name I pray. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Let us go to Leviticus chapter 11. And let's get verses 44 and 45. Leviticus chapter 11, verses 44 and 45. For I am Yah, your Elohim. You shall therefore sanctify yourselves, and be ye holy, for I am holy. Neither shall you defile yourselves with any manner of creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. For I am Yah that bringeth you up out of the land of Egypt to be your Elohim. You shall therefore be holy, for I am holy. This is not a suggestion. May the Most High add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the understanding of his word. This verse, even though we read it as the reference scripture for this morning, this verse does not leave us an option. He's not saying you should be holy. You got a choice. Try to be holy. He says, be thou holy, for I am holy. You want to be around me? You got to be holy. But we know that this word holy is another word for clean. Okay? And so to be set aside and clean for the Most High's use, to be in his presence, to do his work. So we want to talk about this thing, holiness, this morning. And I really want, you know, each of you to participate because, you know, I can give you a definition of something. But I'm really interested in what your definition of this word is. What does it mean to be holy to you? Any volunteers want to go first?
Shalom.
Shalom.
To me, it means
keeping
the Father's word and doing what he says. It does not mean to put you, make you better than anybody else. It makes you to get closer to him, that he understands, that you understand what he's doing. You getting what I'm saying?
Right, amen. Amen. Keeping his word.
I'm better than somebody. It's that I'm trying to save my soul. I'm trying to do what my Creator has told me to do. I'm trying
amen.
To be obedient. That's what holiness
doing
is.
Doing what
to
the
me.
Creator has told you what to do.
Yes.
Amen. Anyone else? All right, I'm gonna start picking on people.
I know, huh?
Amen. Because I know we all have some type of idea of what it means to us. And I'm just interested to hear, you know, to each of us what it means.
Okay, Brother Miles, I'm driving. I don't know if you can hear me. Hold on.
Is this just an excuse?
Okay, can you hear me now?
Yeah. Go ahead.
Okay, sorry. Something's wrong with my phone, so forgive me. holy to me is being clean as possible, doing your best to be clean. And why I say that is being sanctified, being clean, being consecrated from this world. For the past 30, almost 40 days, the Father has, and I understand now, I haven't drank any alcohol, I haven't smoked any weed, I haven't eaten any meat, dead flesh. And it's not, and that's my choice. But to me, when I pray to the Father to make me holy, like they said, be holy for I am holy, and I'm just rereading my Bible for myself from Genesis to Revelation, and seeing the sacrifices, the things that he's done for us, died on the cross, that's the least I can do from all the crap I've done in my 48 years of living on this planet. So being holy to me is being as clean as possible, showing the Father that you recognize and I don't want to cry. I'm just going to say being clean, being sanctified. I know some people, they're like, girl, you don't have to stop eating meat. You don't have to do this. You don't have to stop doing that. Now you're being righteous over much, and that's why I asked you the other day, what is righteous? Why do people keep telling me I'm trying to be righteous over much? Because I choose not to drink anymore. I choose not to smoke anymore. I choose not to eat dead flesh, the blood of animals anymore. I'm just starting to find out a lot of things that we were taught wrong. And it's okay. Everybody's different. I'm not gonna try to convince you to do anything that you don't feel is right in your heart. I know Rhea. At this point in time in my life, and from me reading the word for myself, I have to be clean. I have to stay clean. I have to be sanctified. I have to stay away from those things that are not right in the Father's eyes. I got to stay clean. And I mean, if I got to stay over here on this side of the bridge and you're on that side of the bridge, so be it. I'm not judging you. But don't call me righteous over much. Don't say I'm holier than thou. And, yes, I'm going to be holy because the Lord said, be holy for he is holy. So whatever that takes for Ray to be holy, because, you know, he said, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. You ain't going to get me into the kingdom, and you don't know what I do behind closed doors. Like, I don't know what you do behind closed doors. I don't. People can say one thing and do another. And, people seen that on me. We were preaching the word of God, teaching the word of God, and here we are drinking and smoking and fighting and acting a fool. And
amen.
I'm tired of that. So being holy to me is being clean as possible. You know, we live in a sinful world, but do your best to be as clean as possible. The Father knows. He sees. The angels are writing everything down. There's a book on all of us. He knows our hearts. So I yield the mic with that. It's just being clean, sanctified, set apart.
All right. Amen, my sister. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
And, with both of you, so far I can't disagree, because what we're going to find is that holiness is a lot of things. And it comes down to, well, let me not even start yet. Let's see. We heard from Sister Mary. We heard from Sister Nakisha. Sister Maria.
Shalom, Brother Mom.
Shalom.
What is
holiness to you?
Shalom. Holiness to me is dying to oneself, to take on the new man, to be a new creature in Christ Jesus, to be like Christ, to put away the old man and to live holy. And that's what I believe God wants us to do, to die to the old man, to understand that we are newly created, and we have been given a new life. A life just like him. He said to be holy is to be like him. So to me, to be holy is, just like all the sisters have said, to die to oneself, to love Yah more than we love ourselves. There is no greater feeling than to know that every day we wake up, that he loves us more than we loved ourselves. And for that, we should seek to die every day to the things that we have taken on in our, like Saraya said, wanting to do things we know that are not pleasing and acceptable to him. So I give y'all the glory for all of the testimonies, because it's a testimony to strengthen every single, person that's a part of this blog, that's a part of this church, and helping us to understand that if Sister Rhea can do it, I can do it. The other sisters, the other brothers, I encourage the brothers that don't speak up to understand God has called us out as the children of Israel. He called us out of this world and to die to ourselves. And I believe that once we come into the full knowledge of who we are, dead in Christ, because that's what we are. We're dead in, we have life in Christ, but we are dead to the world. So that is my, that's my interpretation of holiness, is living each and every day. And every day, sisters, we are fighting every day to take off the old self, take off every day, take off the old man in us. And so that's my definition of holiness.
All right, amen. Amen.
Right.
I would say I can't disagree with that either. Let's see. Who haven't we heard from? Wait a minute. We heard from Sister Nakisha. Did we hear from Sister Rhea?
We heard from Sister Rhea, not Sister Nakisha.
Oh, that was
Sister.
Well, y'all sound alike.
Sister Rhea, but, I know.
I thought that was Nakisha. All right. Y'all been hearing Ryan just too long. That's starting to sound alike.
It's actually our moral character.
It has to include our moral character as well. Holiness is it permeates all and should permeate all pieces of our life, our morality, our physicalness, because, we are supposed to be physically clean. We are supposed to eat clean. You know, these are some things that, we have to take into account. We have to dress clean. There's a certain way you dress, you know, modestly. We don't dress to attract, you know, the attention that the world dress, you know, looks to attract. When somebody looks at you, they should be able to tell that you're not like us. You know, you're not running around in a miniskirt with a Bible. Because I've seen that. I'm like, good grief. I don't know whether I can concentrate on the Bible or concentrate on your legs. Because that, you know, there's a reason that a lot of societies out there separate the men and the women, even when it comes to worship. Women on one side, men on the other. Especially in those, you know, Muslim countries where they do a lot of bowing. And so that, you know, that image doesn't even come into a man's mind. I know why they do it. I mean, put the women over there, put the men over here. But this being holy is supposed to permeate every aspect of our life. You cannot be, you know, you can be, say, I'm working on some things, and that's understood because none of us are perfect. And we don't come to every aspect of holiness overnight. But the truth of the matter is, the Most High has called us to holiness, and I haven't heard anything this morning that I could flat out just disagree with and say, no, that's not holiness. It is holiness. You know, holiness doesn't make us better than anyone else. This is a requirement. It really is the minimum standard of the Most High. And this is what I want us to understand. It's this minimum standard. So if we are trying to become holy, that means that we are what? Substandard. Does that make sense to everybody? We are substandard. Because we aren't meeting his minimum standard. So the Most High has not, he says, there are some things that there's no law against. There's no minimum of. Love. Mercy. He says there's no law against these things. There's no minimum to it. When you read the law and you understand that the law comes with penalties, and it comes with, you know, there's a maximum penalty, which is what? Death. But then it also lists some other penalties, like an eye for a what? Eye. If I harm you in such a way, if I take your eye, you can't take my head. You can't do more damage to me than I did to you. So it comes with minimum and maximum standards. The overall the overall concept of holiness is you have to look at it as a standard of your way of behaving, your way of thinking, your way of presenting yourself, the way that you practice living, dietary, morally, physically, your interactions with people. So all of these things are true. We are commanded. Let's go to, just a second here, see where I want to go to this morning. Let's go to Leviticus 19. Leviticus chapter 19. Now, when we say overly righteous over much, being overly righteous is when you are putting those things on other people and you're trying to hold them to it, but you can't hold yourself to it. There is really, how right can you be? I want us to think about this. How right can one be? In everything, we want to be right. We don't want to be wrong. We don't want to be evil. Righteousness speaks toward being, making right decisions, doing the right thing in a given situation, making the right choices. So So I don't really know how you can be overly righteous in the true sense of the word, except for if you are a hypocrite. Because who wants to make the wrong decision in anything? Who wants to do the wrong thing in any situation? Unless we do want to do the wrong thing. So being righteous means that you do the right thing in any given situation. You take the high road morally, meaning that, you know, rather than cause harm to someone, you will let harm be caused to you. If somebody is trying to, let's say, flim-flam you, if a brother or a sister trying to flim-flam you, if they get away with it, then what Messiah simply says is this: let them defraud you then. But the Most High knows what they did. You did the right thing. He don't want us arguing amongst ourselves. And each and every one of us in this walk are going to be at different stages and different levels. And what we don't want to do is throw a stumbling block in front of someone. So I think we might go to Romans chapter 11 after we go here for a minute, just so we can see something. The book of Leviticus chapter 19, we're going to get verses 2 and 3. Speak unto all the congregation of the children of Israel and say unto them, you shall be holy, for I, Yah, your Elohim, am holy. You shall fear every man his mother, his father, and keep my Sabbath. I am Yah, your Elohim. The Most High wants us to come to the place where we are emulating him. This is why it's important that we take seriously the title, the assignment of the children of the Most High. The children of the Most High. Then if we are the children of the Most High, then we have to reflect our Father. That's why he says, be ye holy, for I am holy. You need to reflect me. The doing the things that are contrary. Every person knows their own heart. Every person knows what effect something may have on them. And we have to understand that, okay, I'm going to use me as an example. I used to smoke like a chimney. Got to where it was like almost 2 packs a day at one time. I used to smoke at least 4 to 6 joints every day at one time. I used to drink wine, hard liquor, at a point in my time, in my life that it was a problem. You know, I would get off work and I would have a case of split small liquor tall boys. And I would almost drink that case in a night by myself. The truth of the matter is, I didn't enjoy drinking. I was going through some things, and at the time it was a coping mechanism, but I saw where it was becoming a problem. I didn't enjoy smoking cigarettes, but I was doing it because I had been doing it since I was 14. Now, when we come to the Most High, and not all of my initial motivation was from the Most High, because, you know, my current wife, she don't drink, she don't smoke, you know, she's never drank, she's never smoked, she's never done weed or anything like that. Well, I can't say she never drank, because she had a drink with me, and it put her on the floor of the car. So, you know, I never asked her to do that again. I never want to see her in that condition. So she, that was just her. She didn't do those things. And, you know, to tell you the truth about our story, I was coming out of my first marriage. I was married, had gotten married at the age of 21. I'd been married for about 12 years. We'd been separated for about four. And I, you know, given my first wife, I gave her 4 years. I said, you know, because she was 4 years younger than me, I said, I'm going to give you 4 years to grow up. So I went to Germany. She and I went to Germany. I left her in Germany. I came back to the States. I told her when I left Germany, I said, I'm going to give you 4 years. Because, you know, I loved my wife. I loved her at that time. But she didn't love herself. And she was dealing with some things, you know, some physical abuse, some sexual abuse from her mother's boyfriend or boyfriend. So I told her, I said, I'll give you 4 years. 4 years later, wrote her a letter and said, you have to be back by this date. She was back by that date. But in looking at, you know, I knew she had been with somebody else, and I was even willing to forgive her for that, okay, because I was into the scriptures, not as deep as I am now, but I was in them, and, you know, I had not been faithful myself. So I couldn't say, well, for 4 years I've been celibate and whatever. So I was not going to put that on her. The reason that we ultimately got divorced was 4 years had passed and she hadn't changed. She hadn't grown up. She was still of the same mindset. And I was ready to get on with life. And so I said, hey, I'll tell you what. I'll pay off all the bills. You go your way. You can have everything that we acquired over the 12 years. I said, no other woman, I said, because I'm going to get remarried, no other woman's going to want what I previously had. So you take it, okay? Just take everything. I'll start over. The truth of the matter is, with my current wife, you know, when I first saw her, before we ever met, the most I said, that's your wife. And she was going into a club, and he said, that's your wife. I didn't go up and introduce myself to her. She came and introduced herself to me. And we sort of have just been together ever since. Is anyone perfect? No. Am I perfect? No. Is she perfect? No. But because she didn't drink, because she didn't smoke, because she didn't do weed and any of that kind of stuff, I didn't, you know, want to have this argument with her all the time. So, you know, I started cutting back on those things. But then once we started having children, and I saw the effect that cigarettes had on the children, cigarette smoke in the house, keeping them sick, you know, with things that have, you know, real bad colds. So I stopped smoking in the house, and lo and behold, that stopped. Like, okay, so I started smoking outside is what I was doing. But then I knew that I had to stop smoking. The Most High had told me that I had to stop smoking. We went to see a prophet in Georgia, Pastor McManus. And this man truly had the fivefold gifts. And he, you know, he started prophesying over everybody. He came to me and said, oh, here's the stiff neck and the hard-headed one. And I just looked at him. He says, you got to stop smoking. I said, well, why didn't you tell my father-in-law that? He says, because he don't have to stop, but you do. He says, because you believe it's sin for you. And I did. He was telling the truth. I believe that it was sin for me because the Most High put it in my heart that I shouldn't be doing. But I couldn't stop smoking. I mean, I knew this was something I was supposed to do. And I would ball up a pack of cigarettes, a brand new pack of cigarettes. I'd ball it up, throw it in the trash can. 15 minutes later, be back there unballing it, trying to fix some cigarettes together. And I knew that the Most High was not going to accept me as his until I put this stuff away. So I was still drinking. I think at this time I had already given up weed. but I was still drinking, and I asked the Most High, I said, if you let me go 3 days, let me go 3 days without smoking, I will never pick them up again. And I did that because I know that the Most High is true to his word. And so I made a promise to him that I would preach his word, and then I didn't go do that. And he gave me cancer. Gave me cancer. And he told me it wouldn't kill me. But because of my disobedience, this cancer had come. So I went to the doctor and told him, you know, that I had cancer and that it wasn't going to kill me. He just looked at me crazy. Did the x-ray, did the ultrasound, said, yeah, you got cancer. They were going to need to operate. But okay. I said, but I'm not worried because the Most High has already told me it's not going to kill me. So when it came to the cigarettes, I knew that if I drank, I would smoke. If I smoke, I would drink. They were like cause and effect. So the day that I put down the cigarettes, I put down the drinking as well. And having had a drink, no, I can't say I didn't have a drink. I had a glass of wine. And even, I'm talking about a little small children's party cup of wine. I had talked to my wife and I said, hey, you know, they say red wine is supposed to be good for the blood. I said, so, you know, I'm going to buy a bottle of red wine, you know, to help with the blood. And I didn't pour that much in this cup, and this was a small cup. And that little bit of wine gave me a buzz, and I so hated the feeling. I said, no, I can't even do this. I don't want anything that gives me a buzz, whether it's alcohol, whether it's weed. You know, even when you first start smoking cigarettes, it can first give you a buzz. I didn't want anything that's gonna do that. It didn't feel right to me. Didn't feel right in my spirit. Didn't feel right to me mentally. And so I put all of those things down basically almost at the same time. The weed a little bit before, the drinking and the smoking. Now, I have never missed taking a drink or smoking a cigarette or smoking any weed. Those things only helped me in my walk with the Most High because when I was doing them, like saying smoking or whatever, I actually did feel guilty when it came to the Most High and being clean before him. I myself, in my spirit, I felt guilty. It's not a sin to drink, and I would never tell anybody that. But when you start looking at your body as the temple of the Most High, this is what the scriptures equated to. And this is what I started looking at, that we are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Then I wouldn't do these things in the temple if I was looking at the church. I mean, I'm going to tell you, this is how I have always been. I would not even spit on church ground. If it was a church, and you know, you smoke and you do certain things, you get a habit of spitting. I wouldn't even spit on church ground. This is how much I have always reverenced the Most High. And as he has brought me on the journey, I find that we as his people, when he's calling us to certain things, if you want to be really used by him, you have to do what he says to do. Now, when, you know, you stop smoking, you stop drinking, you stop doing the weed and all those things, what happens is it makes you feel closer to him because you know you're not doing things that even in your own mind were contrary. And so, you know, not having a buzz. If I was sitting here and I had a buzz trying to teach the scriptures, I could not do it. I mean, I could do it, but I don't know what spirit would be talking to you. And this is to be honest. I don't know what spirit would be talking to you. Because, see, that's why they call it spirit. Alcohol. They call it spirit. That's what it should be called, because it comes and it allows spirits to have access to you. It alters your mind and opens you up that you can be influenced by or even possessed by these spirits. That's why you even call it spirits, because it would make people act differently. So teaching the scriptures, you know, if I was high off of weed, I'm like, I can't even imagine, you know, I'm tripping, I'm sitting here tripping, reading the scriptures, and we know how if you smoke weed, you know, weed will take your mind and your mind can go deep down some rabbit hole. And then it's over here somewhere else off of this high. And we might think that we're having some really deep conversations and some really deep thoughts and what have you. But there is nothing like the high that the Most High can give you, that he does give you, in being clean in him. There is nothing like that high where, you know, I just have to say it, you know, the Most High take over and you let him have his way, you're doing a whole lot of stuff, but you don't get, you're not worn out from it. And then there's times the Most High, like teaching, studying, teaching his word, can just take all the energy out of you. Especially when you allow him to take over. You know, sometimes I have to go back and listen to my own lessons. Because sometimes it's not me. A lot of the times it's not me. And I have to go back and re-listen to the lesson. So in this thing of holiness, no, we don't say that we're holy to say that we're better than anyone else. Okay, that's not what the object of it is, but it is to sanctify yourself, to set aside yourself for use by the Most High. That's why he said he wanted Israel to sanctify themselves. That means to be set apart. Why? For him. Some guidelines to it, like you're not going to eat anything that is torn, anything that dies of itself. You're not going to eat these animals. Now, I want us to understand that coming out of the flood, we're going to just talk dietary here for a minute. Coming out of the flood, Noah took seven of the unclean animals, three pairs plus one. He didn't take seven pairs of unclean animals. So let's say... let's just use swine as a example. He didn't take seven pairs of swine. He took three pairs, male and female, and then one extra one of the clean. I mean, the unclean. He took one pair of, but the clean he took three pairs plus one, seven, and. When you go back and read that account, as soon as Noah came off the boat, he made a sacrifice to the Most High, okay, of that seventh animal. It was a male of the clean animal. So the three pairs, they went off and made it. The seventh one, the odd one, got sacrificed, okay? But at that same time, everything, and he said clean and unclean, so they knew the difference. But he said all meat, clean or unclean, was available to them to eat at that time. Okay? So swine, the things that creep, he says, they shall be meat for you, just as all the herb of the field are meat to you. It is not until he reinstitutes the priesthood that he reintroduces and says, these animals shall be unclean to you now. So all the way up until that time, They can eat whatever they wanted. Whatever they wanted. And so when I found that in the scriptures, and when I show people that, you know, if they're a Hebrew, because we're up under the teaching that, you know, the law was back then, and, you know, Adam had the law, and Noah and all those men had the law. They did not have the law. That goes contrary to the scriptures. That's why I said that men died. Sin was there, but he says where there is no law, sin is not imputed. It's not counted against you. So he did not hold those things against those people because they had broken the law, because it hadn't been given to them. He killed them because their thoughts were continually evil. He said, no, this is just, you are just a wicked and messed up generation. And what I mean by generation, a generating of mankind. Because the words in the scriptures have different meanings. Generation doesn't necessarily mean just with like 40 years. It could be that, you know, I'm going out here to generate some funds. That means I'm going to make some funds. Okay? I'm going to make some money. That word generation, you have to look at that in the scripture even that way. Because they'll tell you that the 7 days of creation, the Most High said he did it in one day. Now, you will have to go, and I can explain it, but that's not the topic right now. He says, these are the generations of the heavens and the earth in the day that the Most High created them. So I can tell you how he showed me, but that's, we'll do that a different time. We got to understand that he is calling us and saying, okay, I have an expected behavior for you now. In the garden, they only have one law. Don't eat from that tree. That was the only law they had, the only commandment they had. Don't eat from that tree. Adam couldn't go out and marry another wife. He didn't have another. There was nobody available. And Eve couldn't go out and mess with another man. And when they're talking about Eve slept with the devil and made Cain, that's not what the scripture says. So people just be making up stuff. Okay? The truth of the matter is, the Elohim that we serve, he's very precise. He's very precise. And when he says something, when he says he wants something or wants you to do something, that's exactly what he wants you to do. And we don't get to make a variance on it. That's what happened to Nadab and Abihu. Nadab and Abihu, they are one of the first two priests, sons of Aaron. Their job was to burn incense at a certain time. I want us to hear this because Elohim is very precise, okay? They were supposed to burn incense at a specific time. But as soon as they saw the Most High coming down, they went to start burning incense, and it wasn't time. And the Most High looked at them and said, that's strange fire to me. What he's really saying is, you're burning incense when you're not supposed to be burning incense. Not that this was some sort of strange fire that was different than any other kind of fire. You are out of order. And I told you I would be sanctified before the people. You're not going to treat me as common. So if I say to do something a specific way, that's what I mean. And so he burnt them up. Why? So that everybody else would see and all the priests would see. They knew what time incense was supposed to be burnt. If the Most High had let them get away with it and not have punished them, then the rest of the priesthood would have said, well, you know, they didn't do their stuff in order. I don't need to do my stuff in order either. No, I will be sanctified before you. So he burnt them up. Now, it's just consequently that both of their names, if you put their names together, Nadab, liberal, and Abihu, worship, the Most High burnt up liberal worship. You're not going to worship me the way you want to worship me. You're going to worship me how I tell you to worship me. So when he says, be thou holy, for I am holy, that is exactly what he means. And so we have to go into the scripture to get that definition, okay, because we're not supposed to make this thing up. We're not supposed to, especially when it comes to dealing with the Most High. He is very precise. This word holy, if you want to sum it up in one word, is clean. And so then you have to go and look at everything as he pronounced it as being clean, clean clothes. You know, your priestly garments are holy. You're not going to use these outside of the sanctuary. You're not going to use, if you are the high priest, your garments can't leave outside this certain area. They are sanctified to this area. And they cannot go out there into the courtyard or into the outer sanctuary. They are sanctified for this use. They are set apart for this use. The animals. Why can't you bring just any kind of animal to be sacrificed? Because the Most High sanctified and set apart and made holy certain animals. And said these are the ones that qualify to be sacrificed. To me, they are holy. So we've got to understand that this holiness permeates or should permeate every aspect of your life. When you are at your home, and you know, we talk about the dietary laws. Messiah said it, the Most High sort of said it in the Old Testament. All these animals shall be meat to you. They're not going to kill you if you eat them. But now, if you want to come close to me, if you want to be my priesthood, these animals are unclean to you, and you cannot eat them. See the difference? Now, if you're not part of the priesthood, and you're not going to be coming close to the Most High, then by all means, go enjoy your pork. Go enjoy your shrimp. Go enjoy your duck and anything else that he has said that's unclean. Because it ain't going to kill you if you eat it. It may kill you faster over time, but it ain't going to kill you right away. But the truth of the matter is, he says, if you are my priesthood, these things are unclean to you. These things are unholy to you. So we got to understand that if we are becoming part of the priesthood, then we have these requirements on us. It has always been that the priest could only have one wife. And she had to be a virgin when he married her. And if the priest died, or if, let's say that here's a priest and he's looking for a wife, and here's this woman he's interested in, and she's a widow. She couldn't just be just any widow. She had to be the widow of a priest. I would keep sanctified with sanctified. This woman, would, as being the wife of a priest, would have known how to behave as a wife of a priest. And so we got to understand that this being holy permeates everything in life, the relationships, the dietary laws, our moral character. And so we have to examine ourselves in these different areas. Now, I'm going to say it this way. The scripture says, know ye not that you yourself are the temple of the Most High Elohim. You're the temple. Nothing, then you got to compare yourself with the physical temple. And if a person was unclean, they could not take part in any of anything that was holy, whether it was the priest, whether it was his wife, his sons or his daughters, and even the average everyday Israelite. When a woman had a baby and she was going through her, you know, her body cleaning out all that excess blood and healing, she was not allowed into the sanctuary until the days of her healing were over, her cleansing were over. She could not come and take part of the service. She couldn't, you know, if it was Passover, she was going to miss Passover. If it was at the time of year where she caught it the right way, she would even miss the second Passover, the makeup Passover, because she was still unclean. A man, if he had an issue, some type of secretion from his body, whether it was semen or what have you, he couldn't take part in anything that was holy. His was a shorter version unless he went and slept with a woman on her cycle. Then he was unclean 7 days, and he could not take part in anything that was holy for 7 days. So, you know, they were doing it. She came on her cycle. He's unclean now for 7 days. She's unclean for her cycle, then plus a cleansing period. He goes and washes. He's unclean for 7 days. That means that if he did it and the Sabbath came up, he couldn't take part in anything in the Sabbath. He was unclean. So we got to understand, being unclean meant that you were not eligible to take part in anything holy. Okay? You couldn't bring yourself before the Most High in that condition. You couldn't touch anything of the Most High in that condition. So when I think part of the problem that we have today is there may be some things that we don't sanctify. You know, when you go to a building, it's easy to see, you know, the pulpit and to see the Bible and to see maybe they have the elements of the sacrament, you know, anything that would be used in that service that would be considered part of the sanctuary. And you can say those things are sanctified. And so you wouldn't just do anything with them. But today, we don't really have a true sense of that word sanctified when it comes to the things of the Most High. Because the church doesn't really honor the cleanliness laws of the Most High, but then say that they are holy and they are sanctified. But when you dig into these things, you would know that, hey, any of you females, if you're on your cycle, you shouldn't really be coming up in here. Brothers, if you came at your wife this morning, you shouldn't be up in here. No concepts of those things. People just doing what they're doing and, you know, coming up into the building and really not sanctifying the building. And what it comes down to, not really sanctifying the Most High. Not really considering the Most High, what it means to be holy and to be around the Most High. So we just come up in there, just have sex, take a shower, and then come to church. And not knowing the cleanliness laws, hey, you are unclean till that evening. You ain't supposed to be in here. So it's being holy is not just, it's more than just our moral character, but it's understanding even the laws concerning being holy. Just like we know how, we know the laws concerning the Sabbath and how we sanctify the Sabbath and how the Sabbath is sanctified from other days. That's why the everyday can't be the Sabbath. Or else it's not the Sabbath. There's rules and regulations that go to it that set it apart from every other day. The same thing in our relationships. Even with our children and how we have children. You know, if the truth be told, we got a whole lot of unsanctified, unclean children in the world. The scripture calls them unholy because they were created out of wedlock. And then there's a time period, even. I have to find these verses. It's been a minute since I looked these up. But there's a time period that if a child is born out of wedlock, the truth of the matter is, in Torah, I think even down to the third generation, they couldn't enter into the congregation. Now, I would seriously have to go before the Most High because I haven't thought about this one in a minute. But now that we're on this topic, I think I do have to go before the Most High, look into the Word again, and then say, okay, if the child is not supposed to suffer for the sins of the parent, then this child that was born out of wedlock, he didn't have a choice in the matter. She didn't have a choice in the matter. If they come to Messiah and they are repenting for the sin, their sins, then I still have to go before the Most High to see if they qualify. Because that is, you know, in Torah, he says, even until I think the fourth generation, they were not allowed to enter into the congregation. Now, people might say, that's rough. It is rough. So even now, if somebody asked me that, I honestly would defer from giving them an answer. I need to go before the Most High because we have generations of children that meet this particular situation. And that is why it's important that we come back to holiness, that we come back to clean relationships, and we come back to being married in the way that the Most High says to be married, that we come back to, you know, having children and raising them in the fear and the admonition of the Most High, and that in dress we appear holy, our actions, we appear holy. In everything that we practice, we are holy. And it has to be a way of life. So again, if you would not go into, let's say if it was a church building or a camp building, you know, some people might justify and say, well, it's just a building. But truth of the matter is, any place that you say that you're meeting the Most High at, if you believe that he's meeting you there, that automatically becomes holy ground. Automatically. And even if there's some wickedness going on, let's say the pastor ain't all that. Let's say that he's doing some things he ought not do. They're just not totally in truth. The truth of the matter is, in your mind, in your heart, you were coming here to meet the Most High. And so in your mind and in your heart, out of reverence for the Most High, this should be holy ground to you. That's why I said for me, I would not even sit on church ground. Because for me, this is where I was going to meet the Most High, and I believe the Most High was showing up there, it's holy. So I wouldn't cuss on it. I wouldn't spit on it. I sanctified it in my mind, and I have been that way since a child. So this comes down to everything. When Moses met the Most High up on the mountain, because the Most High was there, he said, take off your shoes. He's on dirt. But where you're standing is holy. Take your shoes off. Can we hear what I'm saying? So this being holy, the Most High changed and said, now, if I'm in you, then you are holy. And you have to sanctify yourself. So if you wouldn't do it in the building, if you wouldn't smoke a cigarette in the church, if you wouldn't light up a joint in the church, if you wouldn't take a fifth of alcohol in the church, turn it up, why would you do that with your own body? When the Most High says you are the temple. You have to seriously ask yourself these things. What place are you trying to prepare for the Most High to come to when he comes to you? I would look at it like this. If I was a male and I'm trying to impress this female and I'm inviting her over to the house, surely I would clean up before I had her over. And if you were a female, likewise, you're trying to, let's say you're legitimately trying to date someone, and we're going to keep it, let's keep it holy. Y'all not trying to sleep with each other. You're trying to get to know each other. You're going out. You're not doing anything that's going to cause you to fall. Because, see, this is where a lot of times it starts off right. And then as soon as we've been together for a minute or whatever, and we start kissing and rubbing on each other, then we start invoking these other feelings, these other needs, these other desires. The body will wake up and say, hey, I want some of that attention. But if we are holy, then we don't even allow ourselves to get into that situation. I don't mean you can't date. That means that, hey, you can't be rubbing on my leg or patting me on my behind or trying to get a feel in here. I'm not making myself available to you like that. And we're getting to know each other as people. So let's say that's the case. You would present yourself to that person in such a way that you would want them to see the best of you. And if it's at your house, I know if I went to a woman's house and it was dirty, I'd be like, I don't even want to eat here. Let's go out to eat. Why? That's okay. I'll take you out. Because I'm seeing stuff I don't really trust. So surely the Most High is worth more than that. Surely we will reverence him greater than that. So our own body, we are supposed to offer to him as a living sacrifice. As a living sacrifice. Now I want you to take yourself out the picture. And let's say that this was a sheep or a cow, And you know the Most High said it had to be without blemish. So you couldn't bring a cow there that had a broken horn or a broken leg or ear had been cut up or it had been bit by animals or was blind in one eye. That means that, you know, the animal that you brought had to be fit. It had to look good. It couldn't have been maimed. Couldn't have been attacked. It couldn't be born crippled. You couldn't bring it to the Most High. You wouldn't accept it as a sacrifice. Now look at yourself. You're not all perfect. But what he says is, once you come to him and you are considering yourself to belong to him, and he's looking at, he judges us by our what? Heart. But he says, your body is the temple. So I'm only going to say to you, if you wouldn't roll up to the church with a joint in your mouth or with a cigarette in your mouth and come up in the church or with a fifth of liquor I ain't came to say this because I know people have done this, just come up with a person that they ain't married to, they ain't slept with, they coming up in the church. If you wouldn't do that, don't do it with your own body. Like, you're going to have more respect of a building than you do your own body. And this is where the Most High has always said he wanted to reside in us. That we are his temple. And so we have to treat our body like his temple. The Most High knows that, hey, if you are married, these things are permissible. But, you know, if you make yourself unclean, then you can't take part in these other things. And you have to know that as his servant. If you're in an unclean state, you know, even in the, we read it in the millennial temple, that if the priest, if they sweat, they couldn't be in front of the Most High. Just sweating. They were unclean. So we want to bring ourselves because of our, not that we're better than anybody else, not that we're trying to portray that we are something magnificent. This is the Most High's minimum standard. This is what he has said, you shall be holy. These are the things that he says that make you holy. Didn't say you couldn't drink, but if he says for the priesthood though, he said what? Can't even be partakers of wine. Now we love to drink. He says, but if you are the priest, you can't even be a partaker of wine.
Amen.
So, you know, this is not Brother Miles saying, you know, hey, this is how I do it to make myself holy. No, what I'm trying to do is line up with the scriptures. Line up with the scriptures. Are we going to get everything absolutely perfect? Probably not. But the Most High is going to say, what did you do? As my sister said, everything that we do is written. And the Most High says, on the day of judgment, he's going to have your book opened up. And the things that you did or didn't do, read to you. And you will be judged off of those works. So we got to understand that, yeah, we're going to be held accountable. Just like when we read every service, we read Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13 and 14. The Most High says he's going to call every work into judgment, whether it be good or whether it be evil. I would say when it comes down to the Most High, in everything that we do, we want to try to fall as close to on the good side as possible. And we don't want to use our own judgment and say, oh, well, this is good to me, or this ain't evil to me. Just saying that we ought to consider. In the next generation, the young people, you know, again, your children are going to do, a lot of times, this ain't always true, but most of the time your children are going to learn their behaviors from you. And so if we have taught our children, you know, my children, all the things I didn't want them to do, they still ended up smoking weed. And I'm like, hey, that ain't got, you know, you're grown. I'm not sanctioning that. I didn't want you to do it, so I stopped doing it. I didn't want you to say that, well, you do it. How are you going to tell us not to do it? Matter of fact, my kids never even knew. They never saw me smoke or drink or smoke weed. They never knew I had done that, and I never told them that I had done that until my brother came. And my brother was like, you know, your father ain't all that perfect like that. He ain't always been like that. And he told them, you know, about my teenage years and those types of things. But I had, my children had never seen it in their lives that they could remember, because I quit when they were very young with the smoking and the drinking. They never knew me to, you know, to smoke weed. But I kept those things from in front of them because I wanted to be that example. And I want them to say, I know that, you know, your children go out in the street. They have, you know, peer pressure and all that kind of stuff. I didn't learn, you know, my parents smoked. My father drank. But as far as I knew, nobody in my house smoked weed when I was growing up. But I fell into it following behind my friends. So, you know, the truth of the matter is, you can do the right thing. And one of the things I learned is, you know, you have to allow for your children to grow up. You teach them the right way. You show them, give them the right example. And when they get grown or to get a certain age, or when the Most High unctions them to call them, then they shall return. And they'll know, you know, I'm not supposed to do these things. But until they themselves make that decision, especially if they're grown, there's very little that you can do to stop them from making that decision, from doing that. All you got to do is look back at your own life. What did your parents tell you not to do that you went ahead and did anyway? And especially when you were trying to express your I'm grown. So I'm going to do what I want to do. But we still have to reiterate to them. And, you know, I tell my children, I don't care how grown you get. There's a certain amount of respect that's going to always be there. You're not going to cuss in front of me. You're not going to even smoke in front of me. They don't smoke in front of me. They have their own little area they go to, but they won't do it in front of me. Okay? That's because I'm not approving of it. So, you know, there's certain things that I see in other people, in their children. You know, I can't stand to hear a kid cuss around their parents. I can't stand it. I mean, to me, that's like so disrespectful. And I said, because you let them do it around you, they'll think that it's okay to do it around me. But I'll let them know in a heartbeat, no. If you're at my house, you're not doing that. is disrespectful. And I know your parents let you do it around them. You can do it around them. You can't do it around me. Even so much that even on other radio broadcasts, I tell the brothers, hey, can't be cussing around me. These are grown men. But it presents a picture to the Most High of disrespect. If I wouldn't cuss around my parents, I definitely wouldn't cuss around the Most High. So it comes down to each individual, but we need to go by the standards that are in the book. If not, each and every one of us could have a different standard. This is what it means to me. That's why I asked that. This is what it means to me. So hear what I'm saying. This is what it means to me. Each one of us had kind of a slightly different definition. We're basically saying the same things, but we could actually interpret it and do differently based upon what each one of us said if we held it strictly to those words. But we are given a standard by the book. And that's the standard that we want to go by. That way we take our opinions and our understandings and our own expectations out of it. If it's in the book, then that's what we ought to be doing. And that's the standard we ought to be holding ourselves to. That way, it's not Brother Miles' standard, or it's not Sister Maria's standard, or it's not Sister Mary's standard, or Sister Rhea's standard, or Sister Nikisha's standard, or whoever's standard. It's not their standard. This is the standard of the Most High. This is the standard in the book. And that's the one we have to hold ourselves to. And those how he defines it. And sometimes we have to go into the context of what's being said so that we understand. Messiah says it's the letter of the law that killeth. Okay? The letter of the law that killeth. Sometimes we have to understand, no, I won't say sometimes, all the time, we need to understand what the intent of the law was. So as an example, thou shalt not commit adultery. But Messiah says, if a man looks at a woman and lusts after her, he has committed adultery. That was the intent of the law, to keep you from going there. Don't be looking at your sisters as, you know, this piece of meat, somebody to be had, somebody to be tricked into doing something that's going to defile her, and she's not your wife. The intent of it. So if we say we are new, okay, want us to hear this, and we'll get more into this, you know, on next week. I sit down and start mapping it out, you know, as like a lesson, a module, so that we can take it in, ingest it, talk about it. But what we have to get to and understand that the Most High is calling us and saying to us, he has said it clearly, be thou holy, for I am holy. Let's see what he means by that. Nadab and Abihu, they thought, hey, it's okay to do it the way we want to do it. Found out with their life, it's not okay to do it the way we want to do it. We don't want to be in opposition to the Most High. We don't want to be pharisaical. We don't want to put a burden on people that they can't keep. And at the same time, we want to be what the Most High has called us to be. And do we believe that he's calling us to be something that we cannot be? I'm pretty sure those sisters who haven't been drinking or smoking the last 20 or 30 days at some time or another probably thought they could not do it until they did it. It's the same way with everything. You know, until I actually made a promise to the Most High that I wouldn't smoke if he let me go 3 days, up until that point, I really didn't think I had not, I didn't think I had not been able to do it. I tried on my own. I realized I didn't love me enough to stop doing it. But I loved the Most High enough, and I feared him enough, that if I made a promise to him that I would stop. But of my own, for myself, no, I didn't love me enough. I'd still, if that was the case, if I had counted on that, I would still be doing it today, I promise you. I needed to make the promise to the Most High. I needed to make the promise to something, someone greater than myself. And it wasn't a man. And I couldn't do this for my wife and kids. I couldn't stop smoking for my wife or for my children to that effect. I really couldn't. I wanted to. I wanted to for myself. But in fear, I still don't have a fear of a man. But I fear the Most High. So that was what it took for me. So as we come up on this, coming up in the following weeks, breaking out these different areas that were called the holiness, we want to look at what the scripture says, and then we want to line ourselves up with the scripture. And then each individual has to look within themselves and say, what am I willing to do? What feels right to me? Because you know what? Everybody's not going to move at the same pace. Everybody's not going to come to the same conclusion at the same time, and it's going to be a matter of how you want to represent yourself to the Most High. You know, what is your offering to him? And I want you to look at it and think about it that way. If you are supposed to be that living sacrifice, acceptable and holy, I want you to consider yourself and say, if I was an offering that I'm giving to the Most High, how would I present myself? If I'm that living sacrifice, how would I present myself to the Most High? And then ask yourself, would he accept me? If I presented myself this way, understanding his standards, would he accept me? Because it's an individual thing. It wasn't the problem with Cain's sacrifice that he brought the fruits from the tree. It was his attitude and what fruits he brought. You know, I'm not giving the Most High my first. I'm not giving him my best. Yeah, these have already fallen to the ground. I'll pick them up and put them in the basket, and I'll present them to him. Yeah, I don't care if they get bruised or whatever. It, you know, he just wants me to bring a sacrifice. It was his attitude toward it. And he didn't give the Most High his best, his first and his best. That's what's the difference between his and Abel's sacrifice. Abel gave the Most High his first and his best. This is my offering to you. My first, my fattest, my best. Cain, on the other hand, that wasn't his mentality. That's why his sacrifice was not found acceptable. The Most High tells the people, even with the tithes and the offerings, he said, bring the tithes to the Levites. To the Levites, not to Aaron and his family, the Levitical family, the Levites. Then the Levites are supposed to take the best of the best, because that's what they're going to be heaving to the Most High. That goes to Aaron and his family. So you don't give the Most High just anything. You give him the best of the best. And the best of the best went to the Aaronic priesthood. But it was first given to the Most High. We're heaving this to you. And that becomes Aaron and his sons. So he's never wanted second best. He's never wanted leftovers. He's never wanted anything other than our best. This is what we're going to look at in the scriptures. We got to understand that when we're coming before him, when we are presenting to him, that we don't just present just anything, any kind of way. He doesn't allow it. He don't accept it. You know, and people have gotten to the point where they can just, you know, we can just throw up anything, and the Most High is supposed to take it. He's just supposed to accept it. No. He wants you to think about what it is that you are offering. How are you going to offer it? How are you going to present it? What is it to you? Almost, I'm giving, this don't really mean anything to me, but I'm going to give it to you. He said, I don't want it either. You don't want it, I don't want it. This comes down to how you think about him. How do you think about him? How do you reverence him? How do you look at yourself and how you present yourself to him? We want to make sure that we are presenting ourselves acceptable and holy to him. What's acceptable to him? I want your best. Got to realize who I am. I'm not just some king. I'm not just some man. I'm not just some entity. I'm not just some demon. I am the creator of everything. There is no higher power or authority than me. I have the power, more than the power of life and death over you. I'm your creator. If I just stomped you out, who's going to say anything to me? Who's going to rebut me? Why did you just stomp them out? See, that's where I read Moses, you know, and I'm like, wow, Moses was bold. But the truth of the matter is, you got to consider who the Most High is, number one. And then you got to reverence him for who he is. That means with all fear and admiration and respect to the utmost. You don't just approach him any kind of way. You know, that's why I say if we have a problem with this because we don't live under a king. You know, you in the United States, you can talk trash to the president, and it's just considered, you can talk trash in a certain way, but you're just going to be totally disrespectful to him. Or you might find yourself in somebody's trunk somewhere dead. even in democracy, okay? But you can talk to the president in a way that you cannot talk to the King of England or the King of France or wherever country has a king. That king in that country, he is sovereign. That means that there ain't no higher power in that country. And if he says to kill you, that's what they're going to do, kill you. If he says throw you in jail because he just wants you in jail, that's what they're going to do. He is sovereign. And so we got to understand that you wouldn't go before a man in that position that was a king in that country. And if the custom was you didn't look the king in the eyes, you wouldn't look the king in the eyes. You keep your head down. You wouldn't speak unless spoken to. So we don't really have a very good understanding. And then when it comes to our Elohim, the creator of the universe, I don't think we quite get it, because if you equate him to a man on the earth and a king on the earth, and a king on the earth just take your life because he wanted to take your life. You didn't have to do nothing. He wanted to take your life, so he took it. Ain't nobody in the kingdom gonna say anything to him, or else they might find their life taken as well. Maybe his wife might be able to say something. In a lot of cases, not even that. Go back, ladies, and read the stories of Ruth. Who else? I know Ruth. Look at her relationship to the king. She couldn't even approach anytime she wanted. She had to make an appointment. Different type of reverence. And now we're talking about the Most High Elohim. And you can just come before him any kind of way and not have any reverence, any respect. I think that the Most High is not real to a lot of people. He's not real to the degree that he ought to be, and they're not respecting him to the degree that they ought to respect him. Trust me, in the kingdom, you're not just going to walk up to the throne because you want to walk up to the throne. It's not going to be that way. Because there's a certain amount of respect and reverence for who you're dealing with. So, again, I'm going to ask you, and then we're going to wrap this up for today. I want you to consider yourself and that you're that living sacrifice. Then I want you to look up in the scriptures what the requirement was for the sacrifice, for the sin offering, the peace offering. And if you were in its place, what condition would you have to make yourself to be? What in your life would you have to get rid of to make yourself acceptable and holy, a holy sacrifice? Get the requirements for the sacrifice first. Then apply it to yourself. You know, we know that if we're out fornicating, we're out stealing, we're out involved with any illegal activities, we're not being acceptable to the Most High. But then I want you to take it a step further and say, would I present a sacrifice to the Most High that smelled like cigarettes? Think about that. You're bringing something to the altar, and you're going to sit it at the feet of the Most High, and it smells like an ashtray. Or if I'm that person that drinks excessively. You know, I got to drink every day. And I'm going to present this offering to the Most High, this sacrifice to the Most High. And it smells like Jim Beam or Wild Turkey or Cavassier, whatever, you know, your liquor of choice is. Smells like Boone's Farm. What is that stuff? MD-2020, whatever. Would I do that? So just consider the matter, because as I said, each and every one of us has to present ourselves to the Most High. That commandment is to every saint. Present yourself a living sacrifice, acceptable and holy unto the Most High Elohim. Ask yourself, what would you present? And then make yourself ready. That is my challenge to each and every one of you. Look at yourself. The scripture says, examine yourself. Keep your eye on you. Because the Most High, and I didn't get to go there today. Somebody remind me next week to go into Romans chapter 14. Messiah doesn't want any squabbling in his body. Matter of fact, I think I will teach Romans chapter 14 on Tuesday. I think I'll teach that on Tuesday, Romans chapter 14, so that we can have an understanding that Messiah, the Most High, doesn't want squabbling in his body. So he'll say, one man esteems this, another man esteems that. And there's two ways that I can teach this, but I want to teach it from the standpoint that my take on that chapter is you might esteem the Most High this way. And this sister over here esteems the Most High that way. But if you are esteeming him this way or that way, are you esteeming him according to his standards? That's where we always got to line ourselves up at, with him. So to say one man esteems, you know, that one day is the Sabbath, and another man esteems that every day is the Sabbath. But the truth of the matter is, what did the Most High say? Because if we can come of our own opinions, and that's really what that chapter is talking about. And I personally, just my personal opinion, I personally believe that that chapter is the test. It shows what the test is for the saints. Are you going to do what the Most High said to do, or are you going to do what you want to do, what you esteem, what you think is best? I say always start with what the Most High says, what he has set down, what he has said is required. And then if you think you have liberty to do something else or to add to that, again, I would go back to what he says of his people from the very beginning. Don't add to or take away from, even the commandments. Not just the book of Revelation. He says that even in Torah, you shall not add to or take away from any of these commandments that I have given you. And I think I need to cover that as well. So we have an understanding that we need to line up with him. We serve a precise Elohim. He is very specific. He's very precise. and we want to line up with him. That being said, let us bow our heads. But I want you to, you know, this next week, look at your life, look at your daily living. How are you presenting yourself that living sacrifice to the Most High? Let's bow our heads. Father Yah, we thank you today. We thank you for giving us and telling us what your standards are. Father, you have called us to holiness because you are holy. And Father, we want to find out what your requirements are. We don't want to do, every one of us, what's right in our own eyes. Because that's one of the first things you told us not to do. Let not every man here this day do that which is right in his own eyes. But let us do what the Most High has said is right. So, Father, in the area of holiness, help us and bring us, allow your Spirit to show us what you require of us to be holy. And let us set that as the standard, Father, that each of us would be working from the same page. Help each and every one of us, no matter where we are at in our walk, no matter how good that we might think that we are, no matter how imperfect that we might think that we are, help each and every one of us to come to your standards, that we might be called your children, and that we might reflect you in all that we do. You have said that we are to be holy, because not because our brothers and sisters are holy, not because the Pope is holy or our spiritual leader is holy or this brother is holy. You said, be thou holy, for I am holy. Yah, you're Elohim. So, Father, we want to be like you. We want to meet your standards. And we need your help and your Spirit to do it, Father. In and of ourselves, our mind will get in the way all the time. Remove any roadblocks from our minds, from our hearts. Remove them from us that we might be holy as you are holy. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen.
Amen.
All right. Amen. Thank you. We, his people, we want the Most High to meet us. We want him to go before us. We want him to be before us and protect us in everything. We have to go back to our roots as a people. We want these generational, we know that those generational curses don't really exist. We, each and every one of us, have the responsibility for ourselves. We may have been influenced by our parents, grandparents, or lack thereof. But the truth of the matter is, how we walk and talk and be before the Most High is on each and every one of us, individually. All we have to do is ask the Most High for help, and he will help us. He says, I am your help. We have to believe that. And we have to be willing to accept the help. If not, if you don't really want to change, if you don't think you need to change, then don't ask, because it won't make a difference. Because he says, if it's not in your heart, if you're not believing what you're asking for, you're not going to get it anyway. We don't want to just throw up prayers and requests amiss, just throw them up in the air and hope they stick. It's not the way that I pray. It's not the way that the Most High wants us. We have to pray believing. We're not just throwing stuff up in the air. So when I ask, I believe that he's at least going to help me. But I pray that he helps each and every one of us according to our faith. That's what the Messiah always said. Be it done unto you what? According to your faith. According to your level of belief. Do you really believe that the Most High is able to and will do these things for you? Do you believe, if you're sick in your body, do you believe that he will heal you? It is always about our faith. So when we ask these things, ask believing that you receive. Okay, we won't be meeting on tomorrow, but on Tuesday, I need to make myself a note. I'm on call still. I'll be on call till Thursday, but I want to bring Romans chapter 14 so we can understand, get an understanding that it uses the topic of, you know, food, meat, and drink, but it also talks about your worship and what things should not hinder someone. But I also want to bring it from the aspect of Messiah doesn't want us to cause each other to stumble. Okay? He doesn't want us to cause each other to stumble. So we need to understand that we need to be supportive of one another. Supportive. And if we're just flat out doing something wrong, then yeah, that's something different. But he wants us to be supportive. He doesn't want contention in the body. Because this one doesn't want to drink or smoke or do these things anymore, or they want to say, oh, every day is a Sabbath, because let them say every day is a Sabbath. So don't argue with them about those things, because he will judge them. We want to support one another in love. And if we personally are not convicted to do a certain thing, then we still want to support those people who are convicted to do it. And then let them understand that, hey, if the Most High has convicted you to do it, he hasn't convicted me to do it, then I'm not going to judge you. You don't judge me. Okay? But from a standpoint of teaching, a standpoint of what the scriptures show as an expectation, Paul said to run the race like you're trying to win it. Like you're trying not, yeah, you're trying to come in first place, not second place. That means you're putting your all into it. This is the way our service should be, that we're putting our all into it. We read yesterday, the Most High, as far as being a citizen in his kingdom, he says, I want you to treat this so precious, consider this so precious, that you would sell your all for it. In everything that we do, he wants us to give our all. When it comes to him. So that has to be the standard that I teach, because this is what the scripture says. If you're saying that you're doing a certain thing, I'm not going to condemn or condone you one way or the other. I will encourage you, especially, you know, if it's moving you toward serving the Most High with all your heart, of course, I'm going to encourage you. I'm not going to tell you, oh, well, no, don't be doing that. No, I'm not going to do that. Because, you know, everybody's at different levels. Everybody, you know, it doesn't matter how long you've been in this walk. We're all going to be at different levels. I don't expect everybody to do everything exactly the way that I do it or for exactly the same reasons that I do it. I give you my reasons so that you'll know that, hey, this is my logic and my thought behind this. This is what it took for me to get there, to get where I'm at. It may take something different for you, but at least it gives you an ideal or a starting place or something that you can think about. Because, you know, what motivates me may not motivate you. And what motivates you may not motivate me. But we're all still trying to get to the same end. So I pray we can understand that. So on next week, we're going to be looking at, and I'll take the time to take a specific area of holiness and break it down by the scripture. And we'll take a look at how do we incorporate that into our life. Because we are to be a nation of priests. We are to be the living sacrifice. So we need to truly consider what we are offering up to the Most High. We do not want to offer up a Cain sacrifice. Because we know the Most High, he's already shown us, hey, I won't accept it. So don't let us think that we are the exception. Because we are not. The Most High is not going to lower his standards for anybody. So we need to consider, and, you know, what may seem to be acceptable to you or may seem to be acceptable or unacceptable to me, only the Most High will know. But you will know in time, you maybe some faster than others, whether what you've been doing is acceptable or not. Just consider, are you giving the Most High your all? That's the only thing I'm going to ask. Because that one thing is consistent throughout all the scriptures. I want you to give me your all. I want you to esteem me above everything else. I want you to give me your best. And whatever, by whatever means you have to give him your best, then as long as you know you're giving him your best, that's between you and the Most High. You will never hear me say anything about it. That being said, have a very, very, very blessed day. May the Most High encamp his angels around you. May they keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And until we meet again, remember, I love you, but the Most High Elohim loves you way more than I ever could. Shalom, family.
Shalom, brother.
Shalom, brother.
Shalom, brother.
Shalom.
Shalom,
little sister.
That's cute.
All right, shalom. All right, peace and blessings.
Shalom.
Everything that lives and breathes, you made it happen.
can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, 'cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, 'cause I'm just a man. You're always there, teach me the way. I pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, you live forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim, his words are perfect, and his kingdom will reign forever. Sometimes all I wanna do is jump, lift my hand up high and stomp. Clean me with the water, baptize, get dumped. I'm filled with the rock and now I'm drunk. Oh, one time for Shabbat. I'm working every day, can't wait for my rest. Holy days coming and I'm impatient. Hanging with the Mishpachah, good vibrations. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, 'cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, 'cause I'm just a man. Always said, teach me the way. I pray that I never fall.